to one place where news, opinions, and entertainment are the way you like it. This is Rant EM Radio.
We can do so much more. We can save this world.
Welcome to the What Are You Reading comic book show.
Good evening. People, let me tell you something. I have a weakness this time of year. You know, every holiday season, Little Debbie's come up with these Christmas tree cakes. And I can't get enough of them. And I bought a box today while I was at the store. And I've ate one. Now I'm already eating the third one. And it hasn't even been a half hour. I don't know what it is about these little Christmas tree cakes, but they taste so damn good. Anyway, I'm not here to talk about food. I'm here to talk about comic books. Because this is the What Are You Reading comic book show. A show I'm thankful for that I created. And brought to you, the people, to entertain and bring joy in this holiday season of Thanksgiving, you know. Of course, Thanksgiving is a blessing and a curse because, you know, let's be honest, the truth about Thanksgiving, well, if you knew the truth, you wouldn't want to celebrate it. But, you know, you get all that good food and you get the drunk family come over and you watch a little football and you get in a, and if you're lucky, you can shoot a family member and get away with it, you know. So who am I to argue about this American tradition we call Thanksgiving? So I got Jordan on the line who is going to help me get us through till 7 when we will then give over the reins to Double A, as he put on the pre-show for the WWE Survivor Series. It's the Well, I can't do it like Vince, but...
The Survivor Series! Is that what you were going for?
Mm-hmm. 25 years of the Survivor Series.
25 years of The Undertaker.
Of The Undertaker, yeah. Did you watch that first Survivor Series? Was you even alive or old enough?
I was a year old when The Undertaker debuted.
So you watched it later on.
Oh no, I watched it. I watched it as a year old. And look,
I'm calling bullshit.
Okay, fine. I watched it later. But the first Survivor Series I saw was like the '92 Survivor Series.
I should save this until the pre-show. So about what I was going to say. So let me swallow this.
Well,
let me drink some water too.
Yeah. Wash down half the box of Christmas cakes. You snack down.
How are they just so good? You know.
I know they're good. I want. You talking about them as I had my mic mute, I was salivating. I want a box myself right now so I can wash them down with this Sam Adams winter lager I got. But god damn it, I'm fucking hungry now.
The point is to buy a box and stretch it out over the course of a week, not like you know, glutting it down and like it's dinner. I mean,
okay, see, this is why I get two boxes. One box you can just glutton the fuck out of, and one box you stretch out.
Yeah, but you shouldn't do that. That shouldn't be.
Why not?
Because
it's the holidays.
It's calories, man. It's calories.
It's the holidays. I think you're allowed to pick the fuck out on whatever the hell you want.
I could lose a couple of LBSs, but.
By the way, and I will say once again, I've been on record saying The Undertaker is still my absolute favorite professional wrestler of all time, and I am definitely excited to see tonight's Survivor Series and what happens with him. Well, but, you know, with him and Kane versus the Wyatts.
That's a conversation for later. Now, hold on. I haven't brought up the chat room.
Well, we are, you know, predominantly wrestling.
We're about to hear the feed because when I go in the chat room, it takes a few minutes for the play to pop up before I can get a chance to mute it. So it's going to sound a little nuts, but. So tell me about your weekend. I mean, not your weekend, but your week.
I sent in more resumes to hopefully get a regular paying job, whatever that feels like.
I told you the business you need to get into. You don't want to take my sage advice.
What business is that?
You're breaking up.
What business is that?
You should direct porn.
There's no porn around me. Make porn?
Go to Hollywood. Yeah. Well, you know what? Look, amateur porn could be your start, right?
Yeah.
You get a couple of locals to do some stuff in the barn or whatever, you know, someplace. And then, you know, you parlay that to get into California or Florida. And then you could be as big as the Dark Brothers were back in the 80s. So, I mean, like, I'm just saying.
Yeah, well, I my week, again, just been writing, reading comics, went through all of Jessica Jones within a weekend, and I'm currently watching my Green Bay Packers take on Phil Rahas' Minnesota Vikings right now.
Yeah, I got the game on in the background, too. Well, let's see in the chat room. We got Stanley, we got Chaos Bulldog,
Iron. We have more users that aren't quite chatting up in the chat room. We also have Dustos 4 and the other 5 are anonymous. Okay.
They'll get on board. But anyway.
Including myself. So. Hello, hey, it's been a good week. Been a good week overall.
We're gonna take your phone calls. We're gonna talk comic books. And I want to give away this prize I have.
Yes, oh my God. Guys, we still have something to give you. We want to give you this for free. We just want to hand it to you. We're insane like that. We want to give you something that doesn't cost you anything. And all you got to do is just call in. All you got to do, first person that calls in.
Okay, it's a video game, so if that makes a difference, I'm going to put
it
out
okay,
there.
Okay, explain what the prize is exactly.
Okay. It is a full season video game of Game of Thrones.
Okay? From Telltale Games.
From Telltale Games, yes. So you got to call in, I got to be able to identify you through Skype or your phone number so that I can pick a person at the end and say you won and be able to contact you back to give you the information.
Simple as that, guys.
Can't be an anonymous caller to win, so.
Yeah, so, hey.
So tell them how they can call in, though.
Yeah, because, look, I bet you're going to want this game to avoid some of your possible unsavory and or racist relatives around Thanksgiving coming up soon. I'm just saying. You know, we all got those type of people in our family, but here's how you can join it. You can join in a number of ways. You can call us by dialing the phone number on your phone, 215-253-4516. I'm going to say that again, 215-253-4516, because we'd really appreciate if you called us for that phone number. We're just saying. Or you can call us up on Skype by adding and or just calling the contact Silver Surfer _ forever, all lowercase, just for your convenience.
Hey, what happened? Well, I took a call and it's already hung up.
What the hell? Well, all right. Well, another way you can join us is, as mentioned, the Listen Live chat room. You can join us at www.rantemradio.com/chatlisten-live. It is also at www.rantemradio.com/chatlisten-live that you can listen to us live on the air right now, as well as every other fine program. And if you're not listening live, you can listen to us on repeat, which we'll be on for the rest of the week. But if you can't listen to the chat room for encore repeat, we understand you want to listen at your own time, your own convenience. We're all busy people. That's understandable. You can listen to us in a number of ways. Stitcher, Internet Radio, Geek Life Radio. Find us on Podbean, Blog Talk Radio, and of course, the almighty iTunes.
And Comic Wow.
What?
Comic Wow.
Comic Wow. Is that a new one? You didn't tell me
well,
that.
Well, I've been posting the show. I haven't done it in a while, but I posted last week's show, so I'm going to start posting it there again, so...
Okay, well, hey, add it to the doc so I can remember next time. As I was saying, the almighty iTunes. Open up iTunes today and search for Rant Entertainment Media Radio in the podcasting section. Subscribe there, and while you're subscribing, rate us 5 stars. Leave a review for our show, any show, whatever show you want to do. That's fine. It helps us out greatly.
Chaos Bulldog, are you there?
I am. I was waiting for Jordan to finish his whole spiel. So,
so it's nice of you to join us.
Hello.
Are you going to stay or are you going to run out on us?
I might run out because I'm watching the Packer game with my parents. So this is finally like the first week in like 2 weeks I can actually watch the game. So can't take advantage of it.
You know, if you would root for a team, I root for. They've been on TV every week this year.
Everyone loves the Cheetahs. I mean Patriots.
Where I live, they're on every week. However, I've had things to do on Sunday, so I haven't been able to watch the game. So, life priorities, I guess. Also, we're playing each other this week in fantasy football, and you're kicking my ass, Surfer.
I know. I'm sorry.
So, it's okay. I've kind of given up on this season.
But you guys play D&D? Oh, wait.
Well, I do that too, but not with Surfer.
Speaking of fantasy football, I gotta say, I love that recent skit on John Oliver about the whole DraftKings.
Stay far away from that.
No, it was great, because they did... They made a mock video where one guy said, it's not gambling. It's just sport where my monetary earnings depend on the performance of athletes. Shit, I just described gambling again.
I mean, I don't do any of those daily things.
Yeah, no, it's like no. That was the main focus of John Oliver. That was like the main story on John Oliver last week. I was like, yeah, I knew that shit was too good to be true. So, and I had honestly been flirting with it because I need to make some goddamn money. So I'd been flirting with that idea. I was like, yeah, you know what? Fuck that.
Nah, if it costs money, I'm not doing it. But anyway,
yeah.
Everybody's watching Jessica Jones?
Haven't started it yet, actually. I've been so busy. I'm hoping to start tonight. So don't spoil it. Go, yeah. Eddie, go! Sorry.
We're not gonna spoil it on here.
No, I'm not. I'm not going to tell you about the moment when Jessica punched Daredevil's head right off his shoulders. That's a great... That's the best part of the show when it ends episode 5. But
we're not going to spoil that on here for a while, but... No. We are trying to work on something where we do spoil it, and I have to speak to Double A. I haven't had a chance because I've been out all day. I meant to.
Do we want
to
spill the beans on our side project right now?
No, because I need to talk to Double A behind the scenes because, you know, he gets
all in right, the room all right. That's backstage stuff.
He gets in the room with lawyers and stuff, and you know, the show.
Wait, we have lawyers?
He has lawyers. You know, he is running a network.
Oh, I was about to say, if we have lawyers, shit, man, I could really use one right now.
Lee says he's watching Jessica Jones.
Yeah, good. I'll just say overall, Jessica Jones is an incredible TV show. Just going to say that.
So, But here's a TV show I will spoil. Doctor Who. Did you see last night's episode?
Nope. I did not see last night's episode, so don't spoil that either.
Doctor
I've been trying to catch up. I was catching up on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and Once Upon a Time last night on Hulu, so people, that was my Saturday.
You people are killing me.
I saw Jessica Jones.
No, Doctor Who.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I saw Doctor Who.
Something major happened last night.
Yeah, and now we can't talk about it. God damn it.
I'm sorry. I can go hang up.
No. Jenny, you stay. We want to talk to you for as long as possible. Okay. You know what? How about this? Surfer, how about we hold off on the Doctor Who until the time Jenny has to go?
Sure.
Is that cool?
That's cool. Then I won't get spoiled and I'll have to go dig it out of the internet. So.
Well, Surfer, is that cool?
Okay, well.
There are plenty of comic books we can talk about.
Walking Dead wasn't the strongest episode of the season. It was
It's only half a good episode. It's only half a good episode. And I seem to be the crazy one among my group of friends that actually dug a lot of this episode. Because here's the thing.
No, I'm not saying it's a bad episode, but...
Yeah, well, here's the thing. The episode, the half of the episode that focuses on Daryl is fucking boring because it's goddamn Daryl.
Oh, you don't like Daryl?
Jesus Christ, I've been over this. Daryl's fucking boring. He's on Mary Sue.
No. Daryl is a great character, but...
You are!
Let me... Let the adult in the room talk, okay?
I was just letting Jordan go on that one.
Children should be seen and not heard, okay, Jordan?
But yet, still heard.
No. Should not be heard. Anyway... Daryl works best when he is playing at Robin to someone else. And, like, when he's backing up Rick, he's at his best, you know? When you put the two of them together in a situation, Daryl is the man. It seems like when you try to just focus on him by himself, when he was running with his brother a couple of seasons ago, that was some good stuff. Even when he was alone with Beth, you know, he was more reliable.
But they were terrible together.
But when Daryl got with those other guys that had their little code, no, and he was trying to bide his time, and you know, the one guy kept fucking with him, you know, Daryl killed the animal and the guy tried to claim it and tried to get Daryl killed. Daryl is a good character. You just can't focus just on him by himself. He needs
to... Well, see, here's the thing. I liked Daryl at first. I thought Daryl was a pretty good character, but honestly, the moment they got rid of Merle... I mean, I'm saying it right, Merle. But the moment they got rid of Merle, Daryl just really stopped being such an interesting character. He needed Merle around... to help him as that catalyst to help him be an interesting character. But honestly, when you focus on Daryl, there's not too much aside from Daryl aside from...
Now, I will say Alexandria. Sorry, Alexandria is kind of knocking the edge off of Daryl, even though, like, everybody else has cleaned up since they've been to Alexandria, and Daryl, he's dirtier than ever. He's dirtier looking than ever. It's like he hasn't washed his hair or combed or put on deodorant and like.
Well, that's what gets the fangirls on Tumblr wet below the border.
He looked like garbage last week.
Sorry if that was offensive. Sorry.
I can't stand him either.
Everybody else done cleaned up since they've been to the town. Rick done cleaned up. He shaved off that wild man woolly facial hair and.
Let's be fair. It was about time he'd been late.
You know, Carol put on the nice. Housewife shirts, even though for some reason, how could Carol's hair never grows any longer than what it looks like? It's like she has that same crop cut hairstyle, and it never changes. It never gets dirty. It never grows. It never nothing. I don't see how she pulls that off, but anyway,
mysteries of the post-apocalypse.
Right.
I don't know.
Maybe she's born with that.
But still, everybody else has cleaned up a bit, you know.
Because they're like, holy shit, I got access to running hot water. I'm going to take advantage of this. Carol don't give a fuck. Carol don't give a fuck what you think, Jenny, what I think. Carol don't give a fuck.
I disagree with you, Lee. He looks like he smells worse like a bag of onions, okay? But
oh no, yeah, Daryl's gotta be fucking ripe.
But that wasn't the strongest episode of his character.
God damn it, Stanley, what is with you writing for?
Don't ignore Stanley. He's like Mixoplick. If you ignore him,
Mixoplick,
it's all the same. Ignore him, he'll go away. Okay? And then, you know, the whole thing with Sasha you're not helping me, Jordan.
Sorry, there was a mic connection problem. What were you saying?
Sasha and the other guy, what's his name?
Abraham,
yeah.
Now, that's a part of the episode that was great.
We don't need no love connection between them, okay?
Hold on. Now, let me say this. This was the part of the episode that I honestly liked, because here's the thing. These are two incredibly broken characters that have lost the main hope of what kept them going in this post-apocalyptic zombie world. And they're... And knowing that what they've tried to do to each other, you know, commit suicide, it's like this weird sort of fucked up support group sort of thing that I'm really enjoying. Sure, love connection could be iffy, but I'm willing to see where that goes and plays out. It's an interesting story for where they want to go with it, and I'm interested. Again, way more investing than whatever the fuck Daryl was what the fuck Daryl did. Will do or has ever done. And again, I liked Daryl up until a point. Again, Daryl was I was in like, yeah, Daryl's pretty fucking cool. He's a great character. They've made up for just the show, but man, again, the moment you take away Merle, there's kind of nothing to this guy. He's a Mary Sue.
I disagree. Besides, I'm still waiting for him and Carol to hook up. But anyway. Let's talk about some other TV shows. We got a little bit of time. Oh, did I miss a call?
You missed all the calls. Ref.
Don't get me started on that. Give me yesterday's Badger game.
I didn't recognize what they were doing. I was pretty much drinking beer and reading comics.
Jordan's favorite show, Gotham.
Fuck you.
I'm about to advocate Bruce Wayne getting his ass whipped by Alfred because
I'm about to advocate the show getting put behind the barn.
You know,
again.
Take it out of its misery.
Bruce Wayne has become a petulant child who really needs a belt upside his ass by Alfred, you know?
I think this whole show could use a belt upside its ass.
Did you see the clip I posted from tomorrow's show?
No, because here's the thing. I believe in not hurting myself over time. If I'm gonna get hit by a Mack truck, I'd rather it just be the once and get it over with.
Well, in the clip, Alfred's looking for Bruce because he doesn't know where he's at, and he goes over to.
Are they playing hide and seek?
No, he goes over to the house and he comes across Tigress, and Tigress tries to. Take on Alfred, and Alfred, he holds his own. So.
Well, that's because Alfred's a badass, and really one of the only good things on this show.
Yeah, so I'm glad Alfred ain't just some wimp getting beat down, because...
Again, I want to emphasize, as much as I'm not enjoying having to review Gotham for a second season...
but Missy was on there, you know?
Yeah, that's you're about to. You actually were. You actually jumped ahead to one of the nice things I was going to say. Because again, here are the things I still love about Gotham: Penguin, Alfred, Gordon, Bullock, and I'm actually really starting to like Michael Chiklis a lot. So, and here's the thing: yes, Michelle Gomez, aka Missy.
Hold up. His name is not. His name is Vic Mackey. Remember that, okay? Vic Mackey.
Oh, Ben Grimm? Okay. So
no, Vic Mackey, damn it.
Ben Grimm, got it.
No, Ben Grimm is a superhero.
Can I get on with it, please?
Go ahead.
God damn it, Surfer, don't ruin the bit. But, okay. So, yes, Michelle Gomez shows up from Doctor Who, aka Missy, and I thought, could this actually just be Missy who just takes over the show and make it a full-on Missy show? Which, by the way, would have been way better. But, eh, whatever. That's asking too much.
Well, it seemed like she could come back because...
I'm actually interested because I loved her performance. I thought she's actually fitting in very well. And this idea of an underground, like, hiring... And the idea of an underground hiring service of hitmen isn't new, but especially... As uneven as Gotham's tone is, this feels like, yeah, this would be the perfect thing. This would be the perfect sort of thing that would be in a Gotham city and whatnot. So, that's fair. Now they're mixing one of the best things with one of the worst things, and that's Penguin with Riddler. I still don't give a shit about Riddler. This version of Riddler sucks.
Well, they're emphasizing more of him being just a psychotic killer as opposed
to... Yeah, and I'm just like... okay, here's the thing. When Riddler admits... When Riddler's other side of him admits, like, he has this sick pleasure of wanting to almost be caught, like, trying to show people he's... Hey, I did this, but I'm gonna show... But I'm smarter than you and prove to you that I actually didn't do it. I'm like, that's actually a good characteristic of the Riddler character that you're emphasizing... And I say that as a big fan of the Riddler. I'm honestly a huge fan of the Riddler. I'd say he's my number two favorite Batman villain. Okay, number three, after Joker and Catwoman, although she can be more ambiguous, given she's both... Okay, we're going to semantics. Anyway, he's one of my absolute favorite Batman villains, just characters overall. That, to me, felt true. But, again, everything after, stupid. I'm just not liking it. Now, again, I'm always up for more Penguin, because, again, he is the most consistent thing about the show, but...
When your villain's, like, your best villain's the Penguin, then doesn't necessarily mean
good
Penguin's
side. Always been a great villain to me, honestly. Well, yeah. Okay, admittedly, when used right and in the best way possible, but...
That's what I was getting at, yeah.
But I've always loved the Penguin.
I don't have a problem if the Penguin's the best villain on... villain on there, because he's gonna be a long-term character, so yeah. You're watching him come up and become the crime boss is going to get beat down by Batman eventually, so but yeah. My problem is that this version of Bruce Wayne is not growing up to be Batman. In my mind, he can't.
He's a kid.
He should be a driven kid at this point. He's not, okay? Listen, a normal kid whose nose is up in the air because a pretty girl walks into the room, I get it. I understand it. We're talking damaged Bruce Wayne who wants to make people pay for the fact that his parents was taken from him and ruined his life. That is not what this boy... This boy is not training. He's not becoming a detective. He's not doing these things. He's just whining.
Okay. Well, he's still a bit of a preteen, so he's discovering things like boobs.
If he was just if he was anybody else, I would get it.
Whatever. This episode features some actually good things before it goes into
stupid. He has a bad judge of character too, because okay, first he thinks. Selene is his friend, and then Selene is like, yeah, whatever, I'm not really your friend. And then he's hurt, he's crushed. And you think he would learn from it? No. Now this St. Cloud chick is doing the same things, you know? Got his nose up in the air. I'm done with it for this week, okay? And week is the fall finale, right?
That'll be the week after. Oh, okay. And then, but look, I just wanted to mention a couple other things. Look, because I wanted to mention things I liked about Gotham for once. Oh. Even though it's only briefly.
It's a first. Here we go.
I've mentioned things before, but hey, this show majorly sucks on a majority. So
let me write this down.
Anyway, look, the elevator fight with Gordon and the first hitman, mm-hmm. that's great. The cinematography of this episode is actually really good. And the tension that built with Gordon and the captain in Gallivan's penthouse. That was great. Everything else, it's like a big major dick, especially the fact that Barbara's still goddamn alive. They could have fully gotten rid of her. But whoa. Yet they chose to fucking keep that useless fucking character around and
Well, it looks like eventually Gordon and his woman's gonna break up. Not gonna last too long.
Hey, let's keep Leslie Tompkins around since he's
Leslie Tompkins will be on the show, but I don't think they're gonna be dating much longer.
Well, like, as long as they keep her around, because she's the only female character on this show that's written well, at all.
I think she's kind of underused, and you know.
Yeah, well, you know what? She's the one female character I can actually appreciate. Well, she's actually written well and has more art.
They had a female character you thought was going to be a major part of the show, and she just, like, disappeared.
Oh, yeah, Montoya?
Yeah, Montoya.
Well, I'm actually glad for that, because they were writing her pretty fucking terribly. I didn't want that version of Montoya.
That may be true, but still, it's like, there's no explanation as to where she's at.
This version of Montoya sucks.
She's supposed to be in love with Barbara Keene, yet she has not.
Did you really want to see that play out?
No.
Really?
Listen, what I'm saying is, she has not cared that this woman has gone nuts or couldn't be found or was in danger at all. She's not popping up like, where's Barbara? How can I help her? No, none of that. So,
well, good, because. Again, that's terrible fucking writing. So, hey, and by the way, here's the good news. Here's good news. Gotham's going away at the end of November and won't be back until, like, the end of February and the beginning of March. So there's 2 whole months where I don't have to fucking watch Gotham. Maybe there is a god after all.
Well, are they replacing it with Lucifer in January, right?
Well, yeah. So, hail Satan! Hail Satan! In that regard,
we would not stand for your satanic ways today. So,
hail Satan and the Starbucks cup.
We're moving on. Okay,
Okay, so Supergirl.
Oh, Supergirl.
Yeah, we should we should emphasize this week's Supergirl.
Wait, stop. Chaos.
Yeah.
Are you watching Supergirl?
No.
It hasn't turned you on. You just. Behind.
I haven't had a chance to watch it, and I mean I've heard mixed things, so I don't
need a
really,
woman's perspective on Supergirl. You're not doing your homework.
I know I'm not doing my nerdly duties.
Or feminist? No.
Yeah, don't even go there.
Yeah, no, I'm not. No, I was gonna set that up as a joke, but I was like, no.
If there is a lady out there,
at least I had the mindset to realize that was bullshit and stop myself.
I was talking. If there's a lady out there who would like to give her opinion on Supergirl, I would love for you to call in because I would definitely like to hear what you have to say about it.
And Surfer definitely will not try and ask you out.
No. Listen, come on now.
No, it's going on my queue as soon as I get to a bunch of Joe Vanelli's here.
And
so.
Hey, here's the thing. It's a CBS show on their end.
I want to know.
Watching.
I want to know how people feel about how she is as Kara in her everyday life as opposed to when she's Supergirl. Because the Supergirl part, you know, she puts the costume on, she runs out, she gets beat down by some guy, and then she ends up winning the day. But it's the other stuff that they're doing that I'm interested in how people feel about.
Yeah.
Anybody can call in and let me know what they think about, you know, her, you know, whether they think her personality's right or the way they're doing it. Is it too much Sex in the City for them? I mean, I don't know. So.
Yeah. And I to emphasize before we go into our full review and whatnot, this episode was meant to air tomorrow as the Thanksgiving themed episode, but the previous episode. Entitled "How Does She Do It" was supposed to air last week, but due to the terrorist attacks over in Paris, it was pushed back because "How Does She Do It" explored similar events and content as to what happened in Paris. And it will air, and it's going to officially air tomorrow. It's going to officially air tomorrow. So, that just keep that in mind. This week's episode is Livewire, which is the Thanksgiving-themed episode, and also the debut of fan-favorite Superman villain, Livewire. And honestly, I thought there might be some noticeable gaps, given that we're going out of order, but this actually felt, I didn't feel that too much. I felt like, well, shit, I didn't notice much of a change, so, okay. What did you think, Surfer?
I thought Livewire was done okay.
I think she's the best villain
before
they've
she
done
became Livewire. The character was very unlikable in a lot of ways.
That's kind of the thing about Livewire.
But at the same time, when dealing with Cat Grant, like, you're not sure if you're supposed to like Cat Grant or dislike her, because she'll do something shitty, but then turn around and show that maybe she has a sliver of compassion, but then she'll turn right back around and do something shitty again.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. And again. Again, I feel like this show emphasizes two things. One, Livewire is a great character here. She's always been a great character, and this is really, I will say, this is the best episode of Supergirl so far.
Now,
and the best villain they've done.
They haven't done they haven't gone to the aliens in a couple of weeks. You know, like where's the aunt and where's the other guy?
I believe they're saving that up. Hey, they gotta keep an ace in their back pocket. And also, this show does so well. What I also like about anything else that Greg Berlanti does so well, it's actually a well-rounded family show as well.
And plus, Helen
because
Slater.
We have the Thanksgiving theme.
Helen Slater shows up. Who
yeah,
was Supergirl?
And we get backstory into her and Dean Cain's Jeremiah Danvers.
She was Supergirl in the movie. Did you ever see the Supergirl movie, Chaos?
No.
Don't.
No, don't listen to him. See it for yourself.
It's terrible. Don't. I'm sick. No, don't. Don't okay. Do it. Don't.
Okay.
Right.
Okay. Wait, Chaos.
Jordan.
Yeah.
Unless you hold on.
Back in your corner. Okay.
Hey, I'm trying to tell her. I'm trying to tell her something.
No. Look, see you know, I know it's close to Thanksgiving, but you're overstepping the authority here. Okay.
What?
Just relax. I'm talking to my friend. I'm talking to my friend.
Okay, I just wanted to add. Look, I would recommend watching Supergirl unless you have a six pack of beer. Unless you have a six pack of beer, that'll make it more enjoyable.
Stop. Okay, Chaos. I'm not trying to tell you the movie's good or bad, but you should see it for yourself. Okay, make your own judgment on it. Okay. This is an '80s movie. Okay, you got to take things in context of how they thought comic books movies should be made in the '80s. So
yeah.
keep that in mind.
Okay.
Gee, Jordan, I mean,
I'm sorry. It's a terrible fucking movie.
Stick a turkey leg in your mouth, man. Shut it.
Unless it's wrapped in bacon, not right now.
Ooh, yum.
God damn it, now I'm hungry. Shit.
Yeah, now I'm too. Thanks, Jordan.
Okay, real quick. Flash and Arrow were good episodes, but they just seemed like they're trying to get us through the holidays so they can get to the crossover.
Well, they got to take a week off because, look, here's the thing. Everything's about to take a break now for the week, except anything that airs on Monday, because here's the thing. People will be lax and chill the Monday of Thanksgiving week, but once it hits Tuesday, they're going to go right into panic mode. You got to get your flight booked. You got to check your bags. You got to get on the road, make sure everything's cooked and whatnot. No one's going to be paying attention to brand new television at that
chill
time.
Chill will be is new this week, right?
What is?
Chill.
No, it's not. No. We are not getting any new episodes of S.H.I.E.L.D., Arrow, or Flash, or iZombie this Tuesday at all.
Let me check my DVR.
So, hey, go ahead.
No, I think that's why I'm trying to catch up, because I'm going to get this week break.
You are right.
Yeah. Boom. But
well, you're like a clock, man. You got to be right once in a while.
But here, so look, Tuesday, chill night. We can catch up on TV, do whatever. So here, but I will say, with the Flash, great return of Gorilla Grodd. Loved the use of Grodd in this episode, and especially, I'm not gonna say it, but the ending episode with the tease they have that involves Grodd. God, feel my nipples right now. I'm too excited.
But Grodd
wasn't even the main part of the story. The main part of the story was Flash trying to recover from his beating from Zoom and getting his ability to walk and then run again.
Well, yeah, it's a whole confidence issue. How else are you going to feel after you get your ass that majorly handed to you and as you're dragged around like a rag doll and you're fucking, like, put on public as being like, look at this little bitch. I fucked him up.
Yeah, he was ragdoll, man. I mean, it's like there's a scene in an original Chucky movie when Chucky's trying to pretend like he's just a doll. And he's being walked across the room, and it looks like the doll is just hanging, but you can tell if you look real closely that he's flapping because he's trying to get loose from the person carrying him. And it kind of looked like that when Zoom was running through the streets with Flash. So, and Arrow, that was the episode didn't do much. I mean, it took a step forward in the storyline as far as Diggle and his brother, but if this episode didn't happen, it wouldn't have mattered. Like, nothing of real significance happened other than them finding out that Damian Dark can't use his powers on Thea because she was in the pit, and it'll backfire on him, and now Thea wants to try to find a way to use Damian Dark's powers to keep this bloodlust from taking over, because she wants to kill and kill some more.
Well, yeah, I feel like this by the way, it should note, this episode had some great action, and mainly because it was directed by stunt coordinator and director James Bamford. And I feel like that the direction was actually some of the strongest points, because I actually really liked some of the drama that was going on, particularly with Fia. Because I feel like Fia so far is my main highlight of Season 4 of Arrow. I like some of the Diggle stuff. Again, only some. It's just,
And then
could be a little better. I'm still liking the Oliver for Mayor storyline.
The flashback wasn't all that great either.
No, it wasn't that particularly interesting. Not at all. The flashback stuff is... Man, I'm kind of getting over the flashback stuff. I'm like, whatever.
So, question, what do they do for the flashback stuff for next year? Because wouldn't that be like the first season, almost?
No.
Well, they are back on the island.
He spent 5 years away.
Right.
Right, so there's at least one more season of him stuck on that island.
But then the question is, what happens when you get to season 6? Because then you're just flashing back then to the first season, because then your flashback thing kind of just fizzles out. You have to come up with a new, I guess, I don't know.
Well,
I can't think of the thing now.
Yeah, well, okay, when season 6 comes, you flash back to his first season as the Arrow. Okay?
Yeah.
That doesn't work.
And again, I'm kind of over the flashback stuff. The flashback stuff only got interesting this season because of Constantine.
Yeah, well, I wonder if, did y'all sign a petition to get Constantine back on the air?
Oh, I ain't signed that yet. Thank you for reminding me.
I don't think it'll happen, but maybe.
It would be cool. Okay, look, I'm not saying TV needs more Papa Midnight, but TV needs more Papa Midnight.
And then, of course,
I really love Papa Midnight, man.
With Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., we find out that Hydra is older than World War II. Hydra's an ancient organization.
That was actually a pretty nice little reveal.
It kind of makes sense, because if you knew, because the way they explained the Red Skull, he was into ancient artifacts. Because Hitler was into it also. And just, of course, he knew about the Tesseract and that, you know, he did a lot of research on ancient artifacts of power and energy. So it would make sense that, you know, the idea of Hydra had been around way before the Red Skull made an organization inside of the Nazis with are you typing again?
Getting ready to type someone in the chat, okay? Keep talking.
So, and then we found out that this planet that Gemma was stuck on, that, you know, maybe the guy that was there was sent.
Not through, that on the up and up.
Through, no, not that he's not on the up and up, but maybe, see, Hydra has, okay, I think Hydra has more than just the Hydra we've seen. This other part of this organization that they're part of NASA, apparently. And
well, they got
funded.
Right. Now the guy who's on that stuck on that plane, he may be on the up and up, but he probably doesn't realize that the
guy is working for Hydra.
That the people that sent them through are down the up and up. And then Powers Booth. Is there anybody more evil than Powers Booth? I mean, really, I mean, I can't remember when he's ever played a good guy. He's always a bad guy. And yet, that motherfucker will never change. You know, I try to like Powers Booth, but, you know, he's just always going to be a fucking bad guy. And he's a bad guy.
Well, yeah, no, and it's interesting. I like the reveal, especially for the scene between Malik and Ward as to how they show. It's like, Hydra's been around longer, you know, how longer than you think? Because again, it's revealed they worship a inhuman entity. This entity that is on the same planet that was discovered and seen.
No, I don't think the entity is inhuman, but he's some kind of alien. He might be Kree related, because apparently, so far, the Kree are the only aliens that's been to Earth.
Yeah, I like that. It's like, well, again, basically the guy Gemma, you know, what's his name again?
Oh,
Daniels. He was sent over as like a sacrifice. It'd be like, here you are, God, our God. Take this human we offer up.
I don't think Daniel's a real person. He might have
really
been.
He seems pretty goddamn real.
No, I mean, he might be that creature that they've been running from. Like, you know.
That makes no sense at all.
Okay.
That makes no... Because he was running from a creature, too.
What? It's a rune.
Like what? Did he multiply himself off as, like, a fear type or something?
It's a... Did Gemma say she ever saw the creature? No. She did not.
Okay.
She just knew she had to run from something.
Okay. But here's the thing. He was sent over with the other astronauts, and he saw them slowly, one by one, get taken by the entity, and also succumb to, like, you know, craziness, you know, cabin fever, or, you know,
so he claims.
Plant fever or whatever. Whatnot. It makes no...
So
Daniel
he claims.
Being he claims. Entity this, you know, makes this is, no sense.
These are all claims. He says this happened. That doesn't mean it's true. He could be...
Okay, but I'm telling you right now, I'm sorry. That makes no fun. It still makes no sense.
Listen.
I have to say with Jordan on this one, it doesn't make no sense.
He could have been using Gemma to impregnate his demon seed inside of her. And she may end up pregnant. Okay?
What is this? What is this? General Hospital?
Okay, see, you know, as always, people think I'm off my rocker until they realize that I'm wise beyond my years and I know what I'm talking about.
But this time you are. Daniels being the entity makes no sense logically or within the story.
It doesn't have to make sense to you humans, okay? This is beyond...
It still doesn't make sense compared to what we saw with that episode in 4722.
Yeah.
It doesn't make no sense at all.
This is beyond human...
You
little humans, you just don't understand. But that's okay.
God, sir, for you are Okay, look, how many brownies did you have before you came on the air? How many?
I told you I had Christmas tree cakes.
Okay.
Those are
really
good.
God damn, I'm still hungry. Fuck you guys. God damn.
Sorry.
I got a pizza coming.
Just remember
this,
now, when they get this guy and he turns out not to be on the up and up.
Okay, yeah, he may not be on the up and up, but I'm telling you, he's not the entity.
Okay.
It's stupid to think that he is. I'm sorry, but it kind of is.
So he couldn't.
Also, this entity sounds like it is thousands of years old, because it sounds like this organization has been around for thousands of years. So your argument is invalid.
No, I'm saying the entity took the shape of this guy.
Now I'm back thing. Look, the only way that Daniels could be this entity now is if maybe when Gemma and him got separated, when she got pulled back over onto our side, the entity took over Daniels. That is the only plausible way I could see that Daniels is the entity, but I'm still gonna say there is no goddamn way in hell Daniels is the entity.
Okay. I won't argue with y'all no more.
Look, normally I would respectfully disagree, but with the leap in logic that would take, it's such a stupid theory.
Okay, so I'm stupid now. Okay.
You called me stupid for way less all the time.
Because you are stupid.
Jeffrey, you're not stupid.
Okay. Just in this case, you are. Otherwise, you're pretty good.
Oh, and now I have to leave, and Surfer's crying.
God damn it.
That's why I'm crying. I knew he was about to leave.
At least the Packers are winning.
Yeah!
They just got a touchdown.
Phil, I love you,
it's fucking up. Anyway.
Yeah.
Anyway. But no, I've been liking Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. That's like, I'm all sure you're talking about. That's like the only one I've been watching consistently.
Okay, so what did you think of the latest episode?
I liked it, because I just watched it last night, and I have to say, holy crap, Ward is some really, 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 really fucked up.
I hate Ward.
That whole plate thing was so fucked up.
Ward is honestly becoming my favorite character.
I hate Ward.
Ward's the most interesting character on the show.
I have to agree with that. Yeah, like, he snapped, like, he's now become really interesting.
I'm so glad that Brett Dalton is still around, because again, he is giving the show the antagonistic force that it needs.
He needs to be dropped out of an airplane.
You need to be dropped on your head for thinking that.
All right, guys, I gotta get going because I'm getting yelled at by the parents, so I gotta go.
All right, see you later, Jenny.
Later, guys. Go spoil Doctor Who.
Yeah, go Packers.
Go Packo. Bye, guys.
All right, bye. Say you're crazy as fuck right now for thinking that Daniels is the entity.
Okay.
Do you want to make a bet out of this? Do you want to make a bet?
No, because you won't pay me if I do win.
But it doesn't have to be money.
Yes, it do.
What
are we betting for then?
Jeez, I don't know.
No, that's listen.
Okay, wait. Amazon wish list. Whoever has to get the win or something off their Amazon wish list.
No, I don't have a wish list. But anyway, listen.
How do you let people know what you want at Christmas and at your birthday?
They don't give me anything. But listen, Doctor Who. Okay.
All right, yeah, now we can spoil Doctor Who.
Everybody knows that Jenna Coleman was going to leave
her final
Doctor
season.
Who, right? Yeah, she's
it's her final season as Clara Oswald.
And you figure it still could happen. I think something's up. But usually the companion leaves either at the end of the season or at the Christmas special. You know, depending on how they want to write it. But it seemed like they killed her off last night.
Seemingly.
Well, she's dead. For sure.
Dude, it's Moffat. I'm sorry. Look, I love Moffat, but he's going to find some way to pull it out of his ass somehow.
Now, of course, she's alive in past, in other forms, you know, as far as Clara goes, because she's intertwined in Doctor Who's entire timeline, so that might be how she'll show up for the end of the season. But yeah, they killed off Clara Oswald, and they killed her off in a way that you didn't see coming. So
no, you didn't, and I will say it was a brilliant performance by Jenna Coleman. I've always liked Clara.
And then Macy Williams, she just blew her chance to travel with the Doctor. Okay.
Goddamn, I wanted to talk more about Clara.
Like, you know, I know people were speculating that maybe she would become the next companion, but her character blew it. She's never gonna board the TARDIS now. I mean, like, you fuck up once and you can be forgiven, but she done fucked up twice. So
the Doctor doesn't. And the Doctor doesn't exactly have a free strike policy. But, yeah, the death of Clara Oswald is... Oh, man, that actually hit really hard. That was spectacularly brutal in its own way. And, again, how they absolutely... played it up, how they absolutely played it is what was great and shocking. It was just absolutely fuck. I love Jenna Coleman. I think she's been a terrific companion with both Matt Smith, but more so particularly with Peter Capaldi. I absolutely loved her. She was fantastic. Just And I think this was one of her best performances in this episode.
So this is now the fourth companion that didn't leave the Doctor in a good state. I mean, like the only companion that walked away almost unscathed was sorry,
why am I? Amy and Rory.
No, they didn't. They didn't walk away unscathed. They.
Okay, true. They got sent back in time by the angel.
Oh God. Why am I blanking on her name?
Martha?
Martha Jones, yes.
Ah, oh, Freeman Agama. Yeah, Martha Jones.
But her family took a lot of shrapnel before she left.
Yeah, her family kinda got fucked.
Yeah. But yeah, all the rest of the companions, they've not left in a good state of mind or a good frame. I mean, what you call them got Rose got trapped in an ultimate dimension. Why am I blanking on these names?
Donna.
Donna, yes, Donna lost her mind. You know, and she could die. She got it back, and then Amy and Rory, you know, got trapped back in time. So, yeah, I'm thinking I don't want to travel with the Doctor at this point. If he shows up on my doorstep, I might have to decline. Because the Doctor, it's just like he's not even trying to keep people safe anymore. So, and Peter Capaldi is pretty detached from humans. Okay. He's been detached the whole time, and Claire was trying to get him to emphasize more, but he I think he's going to slide backwards now that Claire's gone. So that's just my opinion.
Well, this was absolutely one of the best episodes of this season.
Now,
and again, yeah, the death is played up very nicely. It's so heartbreaking. But the episode itself is absolutely great. Macy Williams is also incredible. And yeah, I think it's a fantastic episode. And this is the first of the three-part finale. So we have two more episodes left of the season.
Now, Jordan, we are halfway through the show. And so far, we've only gotten one caller. So I'm more than willing to give Chaos this prize. But people, if you don't want her to have it and you'd rather have it, all you gotta do is call in and talk to us. I mean, we're just asking to make friends. You know? I feel like I'm not making enough friends in my old age. I'm not.
And well, you got me.
You just had to ruin it, didn't you?
Okay, I see how it is.
You had to make me feel even worse than I'm feeling right now. Remind me of the living hell I have.
All right, try to cheer you up, but okay.
But are we done TV talk?
Yeah, we're done with TV talk. Wait, hold on.
Did you see
iZombie?
Oh, okay. It's the thing about iZombie. It's consistently good enough that, but nothing. It doesn't. I have not seen that episode that was like blew me away.
Oh, I have.
But it's always just good enough to keep me watching. You know, it's a fun show. You know, watching her change personality week after week, depending on whose brain she eats. And then, of course, when new people are starting to discover the zombies, you know, how long it takes for them to figure it out. Like when is Detective Babinoff going to discover that Liz is a zombie and there's other zombies? It's like, how long are they going to keep him in the dark?
Wait, how many episodes have you watched?
Watched every episode.
And you know, he already...
No, does not know.
Oh, he doesn't know it's a zombie. Okay, right. My bad. I was thinking of something else. Anyway, look, iZombies had an incredible second season. It's got some great story arcs.
He just discovered that his old boss had brains in the fridge, okay? And they kind of lied to him and said that it was cow's brains. You know, when he took it to Liz and what's the other guy's name?
Major?
No. Her boss. Bobby. Adabi, yeah.
Ravi.
Razabi.
No, Ra. Bitch. Ra.
Ra.
V.
V.
Ravi.
Ra zombie, okay. So anyway.
You off so hard right now.
So they lied and said it was cow brains, which they tried. They told that same lie to Major when he discovered Blaine's human brains that they was delivering as gourmet meals. And so, like, is he going to find out by the end of this season? Is he going to go into the next season not knowing? I mean,
because it kind of, like,
I find it insulting that he doesn't know yet. Because you got to, he has to find out, then he has to be indifferent about it and go through some changes and then come to accept that Liz being a zombie has helped him and she's not doing anything to hurt anybody. Right. It's just like that great show Grimm, right? You know, his partner didn't know that he was a Grimm. And then when he started going crazy because they was going through things where they couldn't explain. He thought he was seeing monsters, and then eventually his partner had to Then the Grimm had to tell him, look, yeah, this is real. You're not going crazy. You are seeing these things, too. I see them all the time. You just seen one or two things. I see them all. And so now, as partners, you know, they're on the same page because he's on the know. He knows that his partner is a Grimm.
All right.
And so when they walk into a crime scene now and they see somebody's throat ripped out and it looks like an animal gnawed into it, it's not a surprise to either one of them because they you know. And that's why Grimm is such a great, fantastic show. Still in the air.
It's still an okay season. Show.
And, you know, and the NBC, you know, kudos for taking off bad shows about cannibals and leaving on good shows about Vesson.
You're crossing the line, boy. You're crossing the line.
Oh, and Heroes. I know you're not watching that, right?
Yeah, no, because it's so boring as shit.
Well, you know they killed off the cheerleader first episode, right?
Well, yeah.
But she
what of it? She alive again?
No, she had twins. She had babies. Like the
with who?
They didn't say who the father was. They thought her father.
I'm gonna guess Peter. I'm gonna guess it was Peter.
Her father thought that she was killed in an explosion that killed a lot of people.
Yeah, at the beginning of the series, that kicked off that was the catalyst that kicked off everything.
It turned out she died at the hospital giving childbirth to some twins who are meant to save the world. So.
I still really can't give enough of a shit about. I cannot give a shit.
And of course, those twins was raised in the past, and raised separate. So when you meet them in the show, you don't realize these are the two grown twins. You know, because they live in separate lives. You know, and you find out later that that's who they are. You know,
you're not exactly making me want to watch. Well, this.
Here's the deal. There's going to be a cataclysmic event involving the sun is going to wipe out all life on Earth. This one woman has a plan of thinking, I'll just take a select few people into the future, past the disaster, and rebuild civilization. And thinks that's the only way to save mankind. And everybody else is saying, no, we can stop this disaster from happening and save the whole planet. So.
I will say there have been some great episodes of iZombie this season, particularly two in a row, which were Love and Basketball and Max Wager.
Well, she was making the gambling bets.
Yeah.
No, that was the basketball episode where she was making the gambling.
No, basketball was where she ate the brain of that, you know, that volunteer basketball, you know, peewee basketball.
Oh, the peewee coach. Yeah, okay.
Which, by the way, was great. And also gave Babino a great, like, little subplot. And also had that great little mini fight scene set to The Cure, which I thought was fucking hysterical. So I will say this week's iZombie was okay. It had a decent case of the week plot, and it had at least a nice little progression of some overall arcing stories and the overall arcing plot. But I'm looking forward to when it returns because it looks like it's going to kick into high gear.
Here's what I can understand. Okay, Major was a zombie and got killed.
Yeah.
Don't you think he would be immune to becoming a zombie again?
Well, Ravi, hey, look, Ravi does his science. His science is tight, man. So, look, Ravi ran all the tests. If he didn't believe Major wouldn't become a zombie again if he and Liv were able to bone, don't you think he would say something about that? But no, he ran the test and he's absolutely sure. Like, look, if you do this right now, Major's gonna turn into a zombie again. I'm going to try to find a way to make sure this doesn't happen, so
condoms,
let me do my science.
Condom doesn't stop the zombie virus from infecting you,
Pam. I don't think condoms are really the problem here.
No. That was the thing. It was like, you know, they thought maybe they could use condoms. He's like, no, condoms won't.
Condoms won't protect you. That ain't going to do shit. Condoms won't do. Well, in this case,
it'll burn right through the condom. So.
Yeah, condoms won't do shit in this case. So keep using condoms, people. That's your PSA for the day. Anyway, but yeah. So
Charlie Sheen used condoms. Oh, did I say that out loud?
God damn it. Wait, are we really going to discuss Charlie Sheen having HIV? Because
no.
Okay, by the way, I love how people were sharing that as breaking news. I'm like, Charlie Sheen has HIV. Okay. Tell me a real goddamn news story. What the fuck is so surprising that Charlie Sheen would get HIV? I am sorry that he got HIV. I don't want that for anybody. That sucks, but I don't give a fuck because it's Charlie Sheen. What the fuck ever. I'm sorry that he got the disease, and that he's treating it very well. Good on him. Hope you go and have a nice life. But I don't give a shit. Whatever.
You know it. All right, I'm not going to dwell on this, but it won't make a difference about him having HIV unless he dies from it in the next 3 to 5 years.
Unless he, like, fully develops AIDS from it.
I'm just saying, like, you know, other celebrities have gotten it and they're still around, so. And it used to be a time when celebrities got it and they used to drop dead in no time, but we're not here to talk about the HIV people. We're here to talk about comic books.
HIV, yeah. Yeah, you know me. Okay, sorry, had to get that out of my system.
So you said you picked up Thor this week, right?
Yeah, Mighty Thor number one, which I'm going to say is my favorite book of this entire new Marvel line right now. And this is just the first issue.
Well, why do you say that?
Because there's a real great sense of excitement, world building. It's a great introduction.
Well,
even look, it's still part of this whole overarching sprawling story that Jason Aaron's been telling ever since his Thor, you know, Thor God of Thunder book. But really, this book also does a great job at introducing you to the world of that. It's got a great story, too. Look, it's a deep personal character book that's studying Jane Foster as she goes through chemotherapy to get rid of her cancer and what it's like being Thor and whatnot and how it's slowly killing her and such. But it's a rousing, fun character adventure while still being an otherworldly adventure where the Ten Realms are possibly going to be at war now because of the shit that
Malachi.
Malachi.
Not Malachi.
Malachi.
Malik.
No, that's not his name. It's Malik. Malachi.
It's Malik.
Malachi.
I'm getting the book right now. Shut you the hell up. Where's my comic book at? Here we go. Mighty Thor number one. It's Malik.
Malachi. That character's always been called Malachi.
No, it's Malik. Did you see the movie?
Yeah, I saw the damn movie.
Yeah, it's Malik.
Malachi.
Anyway.
Alright, fine, whatever. Anyway,
here's the thing, okay. Jason Aaron has already set up the players on the board, okay? You got Asgardia, which is the new Asgard that's run now, what was run by Frigga, the All-Mother, but now she's locked up in jail because Odin is an ass, like always, who's locked behind a door, and who knows what the fuck he's up to, to the point where he's letting his own crazy brother, Carl, run wild. Okay? They got this Congress that's supposed to represent all of the
World Congress. World Congress.
And so, how did Jane Foster get on this council is beyond me.
Because of her connection with Thor.
Okay. But how is she able to represent Midgard when she's half dying? Okay? But anyway, and then, you know, Odin's not listening to this council in the first fucking place. If Frigga is not there, Odin's not going to listen to him. I mean, he throws his own wife in prison, so this council at this point means nothing. I mean, the light elves are telling them that the dark elves are slaughtering them. What y'all going to do about it? No one's doing a thing. No one's lifting a finger. You got the Roxanne Corporation, who's like...
Roxanne.
I said Roxanne.
All right, fine, whatever.
They're worse than any Halliburton or any real corporation out there on that's in Earth. You know, they're there to pollute and destroy. And this Minotaur that runs this company, it's kind
of
hard.
And they're even in connection with Laufey, leader of the Ice Giants.
Yeah, who was dead at one time?
Yeah, well, it's a superhero comic book.
No, I'm saying, you know.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. I remember what you're talking
Laufey
about.
Laufey was resurrected just before.
I know. I read that.
Thor went on hiatus because of Secret Wars. He doesn't even trust his own fucking son, Loki. So, and I'm not sure what Loki we got, because I like the good Loki. I do. I hope I guess they're done with the good Loki, and he's gonna be back to the.
Well, given how he was looking, and what you know, given who he's you know setting himself with, I imagine they are. And I was like, by the way, I really like
you don't.
The,
hold up, see, just because Loki is there doesn't mean that his motives are bad. Because you can't. Everyone knows not to trust Loki. Even when he's doing the right thing, you still don't trust him. Because he's the prince of lies, so he's gonna make shit up in order to get what he want. And yeah, he could be back to being evil again, or this could be, you know, a ruse. Because you wasn't reading the Loki book, right?
Oh no, I loved Loki: Agent of Asgard. That was a fantastic book.
So you know. Did they say that he's going to embrace being evil, or they just left that up in the air as his book ended? Because I wasn't quite sure.
They kind of left it up in the air.
Oh, okay. But yeah, so and the current Thor is the son of Odin. Thor is missing. Okay, we don't know where he's at. He could be trapped somewhere. He just could be trying to find himself. He could be with some Buddhist monks trying to become worthy again. Who knows? But the Jane Foster Thor.
Well, yeah, that's the best thing in this book.
She's Asgardian's most wanted because Odin just won't accept that this freaking Harlequin, this heifer of a woman, has his son's hammer. He did not expect a woman to ever pick up that hammer. See, that's the problem.
I also think it's because, hey, this person's not of my bloodline.
Okay. See, okay, this is why I say fuck Odin. Because he's the one who put this inscription on there that says, if you're worthy to pick up the hammer, you get the powers of Thor. Someone was worthy to pick it up, and now he's taking a do back. So no, fuck him. Everybody was doing good until he brought his ass back, and he's not all knowing. Because if he was all knowing, then he wouldn't be such a dick.
But, that comes back to that sort of old thing. It's like, hey, maybe the smartest, most influential people. They honestly might be kind of dicks.
Yeah,
fuck
Odin.
Hold on. I'm agreeing with you. Odin is an asshole. But here's the thing. Look, the excitement that comes from this first issue, the enjoyment, the character building, the character interactions. And the art, how incredible the art looks and is amazing, is what makes this such a rousing book, what made it such a fun read. And that's why I do think it's the best Marvel book of the all different Marvel line.
Because Jason Aaron doesn't have to start from zero, okay?
The
pieces are already in place. He just put the storyline, he just goes with the storyline, okay? War's coming to the realms. Who's going to stop it? Is this new Thor up to the task of preventing war? And if not, will she be able to, win the day? And especially since now, she has to deal with Odin and his brother, Carl. His name is Carl, right?
Who?
Odin's brother, Carl.
Yeah, right.
Now, the last time the male Thor took on Carl, he lost his life defeating him. So now, what is this Thor going to do? It looks like some epic shit coming down the pike. But, Jason, yeah, he's writing some good books.
Yeah, he's got this. He's got Sovereign Bastards, which I highly recommend. And you know what else he's doing with Marvel that I'm loving?
I'm listening.
Doctor Strange.
Yeah, Doctor Strange, but he has to set that world up, and he's doing a good job of setting it up.
No, he is. Doctor Strange, is one of the best books Marvel is doing right now. Fucked up there. Doctor Strange is doing something I wish Marvel would have done a long time ago, which is dive deeper and fully develop and realize their side of magic. Because again, the best magical, supernatural type characters in comic books, the ones you immediately think of, you're almost mostly listening, are from DC and/or Vertigo. So, and really, the only two noticeable magic people of Marvel are Doctor Strange and Scarlet Witch. There are more. I know there are more. But really, those are really the only two names that you think of. So now that they're developing this fervor and making a whole world, and something I hope that is done with the upcoming Scarlet Witch book itself, because that sounds exciting. Like, that really that good. James Robinson James Robinson will be the writer of Scarlet Witch. There will be a rotating artist almost every issue, it seems. So, but anyway,
you know, James Robinson.
I hope that's what that book does too. And also for Doctor Strange, let's be honest, Doctor Strange doesn't have that definitive run.
Oh no, he does. He has a definitive run.
Who?
Doctor Strange. He has a long run back.
Name one.
What do you mean, name one?
The writer. Who was the writer of this run?
Oh, I can't.
See, that's what I'm talking about.
No, listen, I can't think of. I don't pay attention to that kind of stuff. I just read the.
But look, here's the thing.
I just look at the pictures.
Doctor Strange's best story is The Oath, and that's a miniseries.
Yeah,
that's
out of continuity
miniseries.
That is his best story, but when he had his own book, there were some good arcs in there. So,
oh no, there are good arcs, but again, just nothing to quite like. Oh, you need to read this long batch of runs and whatnot. So here's what I'll say. Again, this is what I'm hoping. I'm hoping this book can be a definitive run. It's like, look, if you want to read Doctor Strange, check this shit out.
The part of the problem with Doctor Strange was, as the decades changed, he didn't, and they needed to. Like one of the things the Oath did was update him for a current generation. You know, because other than that, you just knew Doctor Strange is that guy that would show up when shit got out of hand that nobody else could explain. Like when the disassembled storyline took place in the Avengers. And the Avengers are doing all these crazy things, and then he show up, and it's like, this is magic involved. It's like, okay, well, since you're the magic guy, we'll follow you. And he solved the problem.
I just want more of Marvel's magic to be fully explored and looked at. But, and right now, that's what I'm getting. And hopefully that continues over with Scarlet Witch's book.
Yeah, but you gotta hope that the people will come along, because when you start getting into this high concept magic, you lose people, you know, because it doesn't always translate to the unwashed masses. I know I said that wrong, but it doesn't. Everybody don't get that kind of literature of. I'm just saying. Anyway, we're rolling along, and so I want to know: are you into vodka, Jordan?
Am I into what?
Vodka.
Oh, I love vodka. Yeah, good drink. I usually, you know, this is weird, but I can drink vodka straight, but vodka is primarily used best as a mixed drink, like vodka and Coke. I love vodka and Coke. Vodka's pretty goddamn good. Why do you ask about vodka?
Well, apparently, Marvel has teamed up with Absolut to make some Marvel-themed vodka bottles. And
so, I can drink magnetic vodka with Magneto on the bottle?
Yeah, I mean, they got Magneto, they got Venom, Captain America, Wolverine. I mean, I don't know if these are going to taste any different, or is it just collectible bottles, or Maybe, you know,
does the Wolverine vodka really just taste like whiskey and regretful decisions?
I don't know, but...
Because if so, shit, I got tons of those. Oh, my life is so much sad.
I'm surprised that Marvel would do something like that, because they seem like they want to be as kid-friendly as possible, and... You know, vodka is not a kid-friendly thing, you know? I mean, we don't need little Johnny picking up a bottle because Captain America's on it and trying to take a sip. That might not be such a wise thing.
You know, but just looking at little Johnny, you can tell that little kid's going to be an alcoholic sometime later in life, so best to get him started now. No, I am not honestly reflecting this. The views of my dumbass do not necessarily reflect the views of the What Are You Reading comic book show and rantenradio.com. So, okay.
And now I want to tell you that Hasbro has announced plans to do a Transformers Micronauts crossover. You excited for that?
I've been over this. I've never read Micronauts. I don't even really know what the hell Micronauts are. Overall.
You don't know what the Micronauts are?
Please explain to my dumbass what the Micronauts are.
They come from a microscopic universe that's inside of our own. Okay? Now, Do you want me to explain the toy or the comic?
Just the overall concept of Micronauts.
They come from a inner dimension, a microscopic dimension. Now, in the comic, of course, there was a ship of the Micronauts. They was escaping the evil Baron Carzer, who took over the entire universe. Like, he conquered everything in that universe, okay? Enslaved every planet. If you was rich, you get to live forever because he had what they called the body banks, and he used the poor so that the rich could live forever. You know, a rich person wanted to live, he'd take some poor people, chop up the body, build the rich person a new one. And he kept his power that way. And the one person that could stop him was Commander Arctis Rann, who should have been the rightful ruler of this...
Wait, Rand?
Rand, yes.
No, oh, I thought you said Rand.
No, not Rand, Rand.
Okay.
He should have been the leader, but he was a prince who became an astronaut to explore that particular universe. It was going to take him 1,000 years, and in that 1,000 years, the universe played a cruel trick on him because everybody else learned warp capability. So the universe got conquered during his 1,000 years of being asleep traveling through the universe. And when he came back, he was a threat to Baron Carzer. So Baron Carzer tried to snuff him out. A group of other rebels got a hold of him. And they escaped to Earth, which they had some adventures before they eventually went back to beat the evil Baron Carzer. But, of course, Baron Carzer, being the genius that he is, was never always truly defeated. So, you know, more and more adventures would come because Baron Carzer would pop up, even though he's supposed to be dead. Somehow he'd come back to life. That's the best way I can explain it in the shortest amount of time. So okay. That's the Micronauts.
All right.
It was a very 70s concept. You had a couple robots because, you know, Star Wars, everybody had a robot. And, you know, you had the female, you had some aliens, but when it came to Earth, they were no more than six inches tall. Even though in their own universe, they're a lot smaller. You could barely see them in their universe, but when they come to Earth, they would grow to the size of 6 inches. Now, how are they going to cross over with the Transformers is beyond me, but...
Well, did you open the link?
No, I did open the link. I'm just saying, like...
Okay.
Like, you know, you're talking 6 inches versus 60 feet tall. So.
All right. Well, hey, Surfer, we talked about Jessica Jones earlier. You know, the latest smash success for Netflix and Marvel together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they got a Luke Cage show coming up.
Yeah, Luke.
Do you know who Luke Cage...
Sweet Christmas.
Sweet Christmas.
Christmas is sweet if you think about it.
If no, it really
if
is.
You get the right prize, you get the right toys under the tree and everything.
Oh, hell yeah.
You know, and right now Christmas is kind of sweet with these Christmas trees, so...
Mm, yeah, and them Christmas cheesecakes, huh?
Nah, who eats a fucking cheesecake? Why would anybody make a cake made out of cheese is beyond me.
Cheesecake is awesome.
The concept is disgusting to me, Surfer.
I got a recipe for chocolate chip cheesecake.
Keep that to yourself. But what is it?
Well, you might be getting a little bit more Luke Cage sooner than you think.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he does have his current Netflix, his own current upcoming Netflix show that he that Mike Coulter and crew are filming. But the official Twitter and Facebook page for Daredevil released a little bit of a teaser that shows Josie's bar, you know, Matt and Foggy's usual haunting water hole, and it says, "Welcome to Hell's Kitchen, pick your poison," but the sign is then replaced, Josie's light-up sign is then replaced with Luke's. Wink. Hinting, we could be seeing, you know, Mr. Cage a little bit sooner than we think. Once again, after the Jessica Jones series itself.
Yeah, because season two of Daredevil was going to come out before Luke Cage, right?
Yes, season two of Daredevil is still set to release this upcoming April.
It's funny how they already got season two of Daredevil. I mean, the response to it was so overwhelming. And I hope that the response to Jessica Jones is the same because from what I've seen so far, it's an awesome piece of work.
Just how many episodes in are you?
I'm only up to four because I've been busy.
Fair enough. Stuff in your face with those little treats?
I've had other problems, other things. Okay. Dealing with you.
Well, the word is, Surfer, Jessica Jones is getting just as much, if not even bigger praise than Daredevil got.
Yeah, because it's easy to have expectations for Daredevil. You know, he's a character that people know.
He's established.
He is a superhero. You know, you can think of him as a vigilante. He's not that much different from a Batman. So it's something you can relate to. But Jessica Jones is a blank slate as to what this character is. If you haven't read Alias, then you don't know what you get into. So, and how they use her now is nothing compared to what they're doing in this TV show. I mean, she seems like, now she just seems like just a normal person, you know? Just, she married, got a kid, and doesn't put up with no shit when it comes to Luke Cage, you know? Because that's her husband, and why should she?
Yeah. Well... speaking of Netflix, hey, who is Luke Cage often associated with?
Iron Fist.
Yes. And there were some rumors going around that Iron Fist show might be scrapped out overall. Well, Jeff Loeb says, fuck you, if you're thinking that. Jeff Loeb officially confirmed, well, not so much Jeff Loeb, but Loeb and Quesada have definitely officially confirmed Iron Fist is still going on. At the Jessica Jones premiere, IGN asked Quesada on it, and he said, like, Iron Fist is being worked on. That's all I can say. Where did you read these rumors? Oh, they were on the internet? So they must be true. So, yes, Iron Fist is still being worked on, and I am happy because Iron Fist is awesome, and that also means we're gonna get the Heroes for Hire, Danny Rand fighting next to Luke Cage side by side. God damn it!
Now they have not cast. At least they haven't announced who's
playing Danny Rand.
I know a lot of people wanted what's his name?
Dan Stevens.
Who?
Dan Stevens?
No.
Scott Adkins?
No, the guy that played Darth Maul.
Ray Park.
Ray Park, yes.
He's too old.
A lot of people wanted him. I know he wanted to play the role.
Well, maybe years ago it would have worked, but now?
I seen him do some martial arts in person. He is pretty good. So.
Yeah, but right now, no, I think he's a bit past it.
When you watch him recreate the lightsaber battle from Phantom Menace.
Not denying Ray Park ain't got it, but again, with someone with a longevity that he had to use Iron Fist for, instead of fans like the MCU, you're going to have to go a bit younger. And I still say Dan Stevens should be cast as Iron Fist.
Who is Dan Stevens?
Have you not seen The Guest?
Okay, I just asked you who is Dan Stevens.
He's an actor. Who else?
Jordan, that is your cue to explain the person when I say who is Dan Stevens. Oh God. Okay. We're gonna have a meeting after the show. Okay. Just remember that you brought this on yourself. Continue. Oh, now you do give me the silent treatment. Oh no! And you know what? It's not Jordan's fault. We've lost him on Skype. What's going on here? We lost Jordan on Skype. Serves him right too. We'll try to get him back on. This is your chance to call in, people. I don't have to talk to Jordan no more for the rest of the night. If you would call in, so. Come on, what's going on here? I think he's no longer on Skype. Yeah, he's restarted, so now he's back on. So he'll be calling me and, I'll add him in. Do, 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 do. Boop. 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 You know, I've been meaning to tell y'all that Jordan's breath stinks. You know, when I'm talking to him on Skype, his breath was really terrible. Oh, we got the greatest comic book fan in the world, Dubway, on the line.
You know, I think Jordan blew himself away. He was blowing so hard into something earlier.
Yeah, probably. Let me add him in there. You see what you did, Jordan? You made Dubway.
What did I do?
You made Dubway come out of his hiding spot. You know, he's preparing for the show.
What the hell is that noise?
Right. And you made
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. My connection suddenly decided to fuck up.
Wait, what is that noise?
Yeah.
Oh, no. I was just mimicking something I heard earlier in the show.
What did you hear?
I heard this.
Really?
Yes. While you were talking, it sounded like Jordan was blowing into a keyboard.
I didn't see anything like that.
That or he was doing blow.
Well, first off, I may have been doing cocaine, but I'm not going to deny that. But I wasn't doing anything like that.
You know, okay, now...
I'm making that up. Now, replay now, coming up at there later in the night.
Now that you called in Double A, it makes you eligible to win the prize I'm giving away.
Really?
Yeah.
I got enough toilet paper at home.
It's not toilet paper.
Remember, I bought $40 worth of toilet paper for $8 the other day.
Oh no, I don't know about that.
Yeah, I did.
Okay.
So, you know, I'm very happy. You know, I'm here driving, I'm just about to the house. I got my food for the Survivor Series. So, you know, I'm set.
Okay.
Yeah, but what is the prize?
By the way, Kissy Fit, I'm sick of getting blamed for shit that was stupid. And also, kind of sometimes surfers, you know.
It's a full season of the Game of Thrones video game.
And where can I play that?
On your computer.
Yeah.
On Steam, through Steam. It's a Steam game.
On my computer, okay. That computer still come with CD-ROMs?
No, it's a downloadable. It's a game you have to download.
Oh, it's a downloadable ball?
Yeah.
Okay.
Downloadable.
Well, since I am the proprietor of this network, I unfortunately am excluded from such giveaways.
That's good.
It would seem uncouth, unfair, unjust, and just downright unclassy.
I'm glad you recognize that.
Now, if other people on this network try to do the same, well, that's all I'll say.
Yeah, because you know what? When Jordan wasn't saying anything, I thought maybe he was giving me the silent treatment. But then something told me to check Skype, and I saw that
he was blowing his nose. But listen, guys, I'm going to run inside because I have to turn on the computer and do all that crap before we go live in 13 minutes for what's going to be something interesting.
Okie doke.
I will talk to you guys later. Have a good show. Go comic books.
Okay.
Later.
Later. He's still looking for that.
And apparently,
he's still looking for that Fred Sanford. What's the mom from the not the Jeffersons?
Sanford and Son.
No. Good times. Florida Evans.
Team up
book. I know he's been searching for it. So. Anyway,
well, apparently Stanley is going to give $5 for every hit, quote unquote, hissy fit I give in this show. So, to charity. So, I will do some quote unquote hissy fit, you little fucker. I want to bankrupt you into being a good person.
He'll bankrupt you before that happens.
Ha, joke's on him. I don't get that much money. So, eat a dick.
Anyway, so we're running out of time, so...
And also on that same place I was trying to lead into, he was asked about Punisher getting his own Netflix show. He said, I think we'd love to see something happen, but it's way too soon to tell, and we don't necessarily like to discuss which metrics we use to decide these things. What I can tell you is that anyone who's a hardcore Punisher fan is going to be blown away and incredibly satisfied by Burfinell's take on Frank Castle. And it's one of those cases where it's the character from the pages come to life. So, Punisher fans.
Let's see how you translate first before we get into a...
Yeah, that's also what Quesada was pretty much saying. Star Wars Force Awakens is already making up to about $50 million in pre-ticket sales.
And most of that is in IMAX, probably. So
they're not saying how much. Okay, IMAX has gotten 6.5 of it.
That's it, because I thought most people was running to get their IMAX ticket.
Well, 6 million were, but it's a case of people don't give a shit. They want to see Star Wars.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens if this movie bombs or it becomes the greatest movie of all time.
Well, Surfer, I believe you're familiar with the Doom Patrol.
Yeah, I've heard of them.
All right. Well, there's going to be a new Doom Patrol comic written by former... co-written by former... My Chemical Romance head Gerard Way, who was reteaming with the Fabulous Life, the Incredible Life of the Fabulous Killjoys, Becky Cloonan, along with for a Doom Patrol book.
Mm-hmm.
For a new Doom Patrol book,
Okay, you're going in and out.
Sorry, he said to what? Gerard said he had a pitch for Doom Patrol that was approved by DC with Becca Cleland on art, that she even drew up character designs, but he hasn't had time to make it fit into his schedule, and hey, he's getting ready to do it.
Okay.
They're gearing up to do this, so there's going to be some new Doom Patrol. Oh, you just want me to? Do you want to take over the next story?
No, go ahead. Keep going.
Shit. All right. ESPN and Marvel are teaming up to honor female athletes.
Yeah, it's the year of the woman, people, when it comes to sports.
Yes, the ESPNW has teamed up with Marvel Comics to create Super Takes on the 2015 Impact 25 list, which recognizes athletes and influencers who have made the biggest mark on women in sports this year. 24 nominees plus the ESPNW Woman of the Year will be featured in like a specially written and drawn comic with Marvel superheroes. The list will be revealed on Monday, December 7th. The comic should be out sometime about early 2016.
Sounds interesting, but no, I probably won't get it. But I hope it does to some people, you know, because... But go ahead, say what's next.
There's a whole lot of new merchandise coming out for Jessica Jones and Daredevil for the Marvel Netflix. It's proven to be quite successful. There is... Oh, fuck you, CBR, and your stupid pop-ups. Oh my god.
Well, the Alias run is on sale on CBR for 99 cents each, right?
Well, no, that's Comixology.
Comixology.
Yeah, there's a whole lot of Jessica Jones comics on sale for, like, pretty much a buck each. That Comixology included the entire Alias run, which is just 28 issues, and I recommend that because Alias is a great book. I reread the entire run before watching Jessica Jones. It's incredible! But yeah, there's a whole bunch of new at Cafe Press. They have launched a whole bunch of new merchandise for men and women of Jessica Jones and Daredevil, including Alias Investigations mugs and laptop bags, Alias shirts and tank tops, Punisher dog tags, some Deadpool watches, Daredevil hats, all sorts of cool stuff. So hey, go on, get that. Here's just a whole bunch of fucking news put together. The Constantine petition has reached 68,000 signatures. So there's something. Wally West is officially coming to the mid-season finale of The Flash, which is also their Christmas episode, entitled Running to Stand Still, which the press release was released this week, saying... When Mark Martin, a.k.a. the Weather Wizard, returns to break Leonard Snart and the Trickster out of Iron Heights, Barry must stop these rogues from taking over Central City during Christmas. Meanwhile, Joe and Iris meet Wally West. And I'm excited because Wally West is my absolute favorite Flash, and oh my god.
I think this is different Wally West, because they did drop the hint, the bomb, that Iris has a brother. And in the comics, Wally... Is a nephew.
Yeah, always. Yeah. Daniel West is the brother. And the recent Vertigo book, which I haven't been able to read yet. I got to catch up on some books. Unfollow is heading to ABC. ABC has optioned Vertigo's Unfollow for an adaptation. The series will be scripted by Originals showrunner Michael Narducci. Unfollow tells the story of a dying social media magnate who announces his plans to give away his fortune to 140 seemingly random people. When one of them turns up dead, it becomes clear that all 140 of them are in danger and are potential suspects. It is still in the scripting phase with no cast or premiere date at all announced. And that's it for the news. Period. Done.
Okay.
That's it, Surfer. We're done with the show.
Done with the show? No, we're not. Because we got to talk about the other fine show on Rant EM Radio. Did you know those other shows?
No, I'm aware.
Because, you know, after we're done here, you know, Rant Ian Radio will present WWE pre-show for the Survivor Series, hosted by Double A. And then Cast of a Thousand. And we'll break down tonight's epic card for the WWE and give our predictions. And then immediately following the show will be the post show at 11 p.m. We'll recap and talk and complain and bitch and praise the product that they give us tonight as we talk about a brand new WWE champion. It's guaranteed, okay? Unless John Cena comes running down, beats somebody up, and takes the belt, he's going to be a new champion. Okay? But then it doesn't end there. Tomorrow, 11:30 p.m., there will be a very special episode of Talk Brunch Live with Rick Dara and Mick Wrestling. And their guest will be Double A, as he will break them in as to his thoughts on wrestling, and they'll talk about other good, nice things of that ilk. But if you can't get enough of Double A, he'll be back on Tuesday night with the Rant with Tony C, followed by Freaks and Effing Geeks with Rage and Lee Champon. Talk Brunch will be back on Disc In Wednesday, their regular show. Or is they only doing the one show this Monday?
I don't know, really.
I don't know either, but they could be back on this Wednesday. Not sure. Thursday night, Rant and Wrestling at 9 p.m., followed by maybe a live episode of Turnbuckle Throwbacks this Friday at 11. It is a holiday, so they may take off. Next Saturday at 11 p.m. will be the Wrestling Call-In Show with William Morgan. We'll be back on the air again next Sunday at 5 p.m. for the What Are You Reading comic book show. We'll talk about all the turkey and the parades and the movies coming out, you know. And did you see those Hunger Games yet?
No.
Okay, I just got a message. Let's see what the message says. Okay, so the live episode for Monday night will replay on Wednesday at its normal time of 8 p.m. So, if you can't stay up tomorrow night, then you'll be able to hear it again on Wednesday at the normal time. Now, this is not how I would want to explain this, but because I haven't had a chance to discuss this with Double A, and hopefully he'll find it in his heart to allow this on the air, but this show and the Talk Brunch fellas, we got together and we recorded a discussion on the first three episodes of Jessica Jones, and we spoil it a little. So if you can listen to part of it and then stop it if you don't want to listen to the spoiler part. And you know, we'll submit this to Double A, and he'll try to put this on the feed, hopefully. Now, Double A, I meant to talk to you earlier, but I've been out all day, so I know you don't like to have shit dropped on you like this, but we're just hoping you can find it in your heart, okay, to add this to the wonderful feed so we can bring this to the masses, okay? It's entertainment, people. So petition Double A. Hopefully it'll play this week. Maybe as early as tonight after the post show or sometime this week. So look for that. I'm not sure what's going on, but mea culpa, Double A. Whatever that means, you know, hat in hand, so on. So let me ask you, Jordan, for Thanksgiving, what does your family allow you to cook for? What do you contribute?
I don't cook at Thanksgiving.
You don't contribute enough? You don't make the rolls?
What? I don't cook at Thanksgiving, man.
Come on, now. You're a grown man. You should be able to contribute something to
Day. I bring out the alcohol. How about that?
Oh, you go back to the distillery and get the... Okay.
You and your You and your stereotypes.
Yeah, me and my stereotypes. But come on now.
Come on now, what?
I'm just saying, man. You need to contribute. You know, learn how to make some stuffing or
mashed. I don't like stuffing.
Learn how to make the mashed potatoes. Make some rolls. You can't.
Okay,
make
roll. Okay, fine. You know what? I'll do the rolls. But stuffing and mashed potatoes, I'm not a fan of those.
You can't
foods.
Pop open a can of a Pillsbury or something and throw it in the oven so you can say you contribute. I'm just saying. What disgusting with you? You know, you can bake. I had to bake a cake or a pie or something. Okay.
I know how to bake a cake.
All right, then bake a cake. You know, you could pull your weight.
You let me. Hey, you know what? You let me worry about my Thanksgiving. I'll let you worry about yours.
Look, my Thanksgiving is set. I have my Swanson Man Hungry dinner already. Okay, it is defrosting as we speak. So I will pop that in the oven come Thursday morning. It'll be nice and ready by the end of the day, and I'll sit in the dark in front of the TV.
Watching football.
Watching a football game, eating my TV dinner for Thanksgiving, people. It's a yearly tradition.
Well, you have fun with that.
So, for all of us here at the What Are You Reading Comic Book Show, and at Rant and Radio, we want to not wish you, or wish you, depending on how you feel about Thanksgiving, a happy and healthy Thanksgiving. You know, don't talk politics, people. You know, that's just going to cause you to get shot or cause you to shoot a relative, you know. And, you know, just try to root for the same football team, okay? You don't want to.
Yep. Yeah.
You know, it's bad enough you got to watch the Lions and the Cowboys every freaking year, okay? Well, as long as the Cowboys go down in flames, I'm happy, okay? Just screw the Cowboys, okay? But other than that, we're gonna say good night. So say good night, people. Say good night, Jordan.
Good night, everybody.
We thank you for listening and indulging us. Until next week, peace.